Radio. However you are tuning into the show, wherever it's becoming possible for you in your life, that can be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Podcorn, Apple Podcasts, wherever it's out there, thanks for making One and Done Radio a part of your day. I open the show on this one with a great interview with Brian Shallcross of the Bowie Bay Sox, AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Great interview, the general manager talking with him. Lots of great stuff. Just, like, tune in. It's great. Finally, I close the show. Talk about the NFL schedules. Give my release, my reaction to the releases. And just talking about the Colts schedule too for a little bit as well. Nothing too crazy, but just give my reaction. Some teams have some tough stretches in the NFL, so I talk about all that. All that on the show. Let's go. All right, joining me now is Brian Shallcross, general manager of the Bowie Bay Sox, which is the AA affiliate to the Baltimore Orioles. Brian, I want to thank you again for taking the time to talk to me on One and Done Radio.
It's a nice looking hat. Looking
it's
good.
It sure is. Got it from you guys. I appreciate you guys sending it my way. This is, again, a great hat, like you pointed out. Now, Brian, talk to me about your background, how you made it to being a general manager for the Bowie Bay Sox.
So I wanted to, it's funny, I did some internship work for the Reading Phillies at the time, Fightins right now, but I grew up around that area and did an internship with them. And there was two things I decided. I wanted to work in college athletics and I didn't want to work in minor league baseball. And neither of those are panning out for me. But I started my athletic career in college athletics, University of Virginia. Yeah. And I transitioned into pro sports after my girlfriend broke up with me. And so I moved home and started working for a company called Comcast Spectacor. And they own the Flyers and Sixers. And they acquired three minor league baseball teams, Delmarva Shorebirds, Bowie Bay Sox, and Frederick Keys. And I was kind of the only one in the room with any minor league baseball experience. So I was told to pack my bags and head to Delmarva. And I didn't really even know where Salisbury, Maryland was, but I found out on a map and got in my car and drove and eventually worked my way to Bowie.
How did the Bay Sox like name colors? How did it all originate?
So, we're a Baltimore Orioles affiliate. We did have a name the team, and we really the Chesapeake Bay is very, very important to this area, and so incorporating the Bay into our name was a pretty important thing for us. So we are the interesting trivia. We are the longest moniker in one stadium that's active right now. So we've been the Bay Sox ever since we've gotten here. 1993 was our first year. We played in Memorial Stadium, which was the Orioles' old stadium. So we were another trivia. We were the last professional baseball team to play in Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we started in 1994 where we are in Bowie. And we've been the Bay Sox ever since, and we've been affiliated with the Orioles ever since.
Obviously, the hat and the colors very similar to the Orioles. You don't see that in a lot of minor league teams. You see, they all have their own names, especially like Norfolk Tides, AAA affiliate. They have their own colors and names. What was the significance? Like, were we trying to stay similar to Baltimore? How'd that work?
Absolutely, and you know, it's almost like the more people go different, the more we're the same in that respect. But the hat that you're wearing is very, very similar to the Orioles hat. And so it's been intentional because we have had such a long history with the Orioles and such a community tie with the Orioles. And we're also in Nationals territory as well. But it is intentional. We are proud of that affiliation and the connection with the Orioles. And listen, I've been here 20 years. It's been some dark, dark years for the Orioles baseball. And we've obviously been a good partner to Baltimore and now that they're playing so well, it makes us feel good that we've stuck by them the whole time.
And some great players have come from Bowie. Touch on some of those players that have.
So if you think about it right now, our roster in Baltimore will have anywhere between 6 and 7 every day, former Bay Sox players. And it's really the general manager, Mike Elias, when I first met him a few years ago, when he first started with the Orioles, he's like, you know, you're going to be good because we're going to have lots of talent. Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. You know, a few lean years, and you can make an argument, was that fair to fans? But now you know, we're being rewarded with that success up in the major leagues. And, you know, a couple of the no-brainer prospects, Grayson Rodriguez and Adley Rutschman, are really making their mark now. But it's other players that, like I said, 6 to 7 players every night are former Bay Sox. So, other players that have come through here, like Manny Machado, Manny spent some time here and, of course, went to the Orioles and then was traded. But so we've had a pretty long history of solid players. But there's no more exciting time, and I've been here 20 years. This is the most excited that I think everybody's been about the farm system in general and, of course, the major leagues, because our farm system has been consistently ranked in the last few years in top one or two.
And Adley, I mean, Adley's one of my favorite catchers in the game today. I think he's a phenomenal player. Now, who are some players on the team now that people should be prepared for to come up?
Yeah, there's a couple of really top prospects for us, Heston Kerstad and Cesar Prieto. Those are the two names that you're going to see making moves to AAA and eventually pushing into major leagues. And that's the thing, is like the Orioles are so young, but yet there's still these prospects pushing them from underneath. So it's a good problem to have. But those two names are really associated with the top prospects of our ball club right now. And we also acquired some players through trades that have made their mark as well.
It's a great problem to have. And so this name, the stadium that you guys play in is Prince George's Stadium, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What's an experience like for someone that's going? Because one, I looked at some photos. I obviously haven't been to Bowie, but I looked at some photos and there's a beautiful backdrop going, looking out to the outfield. I think that's a great view. What's an experience like for fans that go to Prince George's Stadium?
It's interesting you mentioned that, because years past they would have, what's your favorite minor league backdrop? And it's always skylines, and I would always submit our picture. I'm like, there you go. There's a bat. And we would never win, right? We'd never win those type of awards. But I would agree with you that a backdrop of the trees, and it symbolizes fresh air, getting out of your house and into the fresh air. This ballpark is really in the middle of some transformations. It's an old ballpark, 1994. But we have new ownership group. And they've demonstrated their desire to really change it. And we've worked with our landlord, and we're going to receive quite a bit of money from the state of Maryland to really upgrade this ballpark. But I would classify the ballpark experiences as a little bit of a carnival, a little bit of a circus. And we want to make sure that the fans are entertained, and that's nothing new to minor league baseball, but it's really a new focus for us. Sure. We understand that there's a core group of people that are diehard baseball people, and we don't want to minimize that experience. But for the fringe fans, we want to develop those kids and those families to be fans of the Orioles growing up.
Yeah, I think baseball, like minor league baseball, is a great experience. Where I live, I don't have a minor league baseball team like right next to me, but there's, I could drive to one, but just having that team around, just something to go do for the family and friends and go see some great prospects as well, I think is an experience that really you don't get in a lot of places. And like my example, I don't have. Can you talk about what's some recent promotions you guys have done and are going to do, maybe some stuff you're going to do in the future?
So the one, I guess the new one. So every year we sit down and we brainstorm, like, okay, let's keep this core promotions. These are the ones that stunk, get rid of them. And then here's the ones that it could be good if we take it to the next level and we invest in it. So we're going to have a Grateful Dead night for the second year in a row. And it was really popular. And so we're pretty excited about that. We did get permission from the Grateful Dead to do a promotion with them. And this actually, you know, I mentioned that we're a little bit of a circus. We're actually going to have a circus night with real circus entertainment in between innings, doing acts. And so that's going to be an exciting one for us. One that we're known for that's unique to us is our Navy night, not just Navy night, but we are 10 miles away from the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. And so every year the plebes. So plebe is a term for their freshmen. Every year, the plebes come out to our ballpark. It's over 1,000 plebes. It is their first night that they get to dress in all whites. And so it's literally after the national anthem is played is the first second of freedom from what's they're called plebe summer. So they will have I Day, initiation day, in early June, and then all the way until August 4th in our case. You're basically, it's a military training basically. So after the national anthem is their first second of freedom. So the first thing they do is go get a hot dog and ice cream, but they got to make sure they don't get on their whites.
Right.
They'll have to figure out how to clean that that night, because at 5 a.m. the next morning, they're going to be running.
Jeez almighty. I could not imagine that. Now, community is a big thing for me, and I'm sure it's big for Bowie Bay Sox. How do you guys engage with a community?
I think the most successful thing from our standpoint is school engagement. Let me do the math real quick. We have a reading program where roughly 60,000 kids have participated locally. And so it's a real opportunity for us to give teachers a incentive program for the kids. So we do various work with the school programs, whether it's art program, physical education, reading programs, math programs. We'll do a Pi Day for our middle school students where the person that lists the number of pi all the way out wins a big prize from us. So it's 3.14, blah, 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 blah. It's never ending. And these kids, I think the winner memorized 270 places of pi, which is incredible. I mean, I can't even fathom doing that.
270?
Correct. And so those are the unique programs that we do within our schools. But we also have a pretty robust nonprofit fundraising program here. That's growing. Our director of marketing brought this program from another team. And so we want to make sure all the local nonprofits are getting an opportunity to utilize us, because we are a public venue, utilizing us and our assets to raise funds.
That's great. I'm still getting over the 270 for pi. I'm just trying to think how far. 3.14159.
No, you're further than I got.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I was right or not. But if I was right, I would love to hear that. Now, what do you think sets minor league baseball apart from major league, like for you in particular?
Well, you know, a lot of people will say it's a price, and I don't necessarily buy that. I mean, yes, we want to be affordable family fun. Absolutely. We want to make sure that we're taken care of. But to me, it's ease of access. It's, you pull right in, you pull right out. You don't have to worry about paying for parking. In our case, I know some minor league teams do charge. But it's the ease of getting in and out. It's the access to the players. It's the intimacy of it. And it's the carnival atmosphere. Because like I mentioned, we're not really catering specifically to a baseball crowd. We're catering to families. And we're also, we want to be that community meeting spot. That's what we want to be. As a matter of fact, when people ask us to use the facility for various things, we say yes a lot. Mm-hmm. We don't charge rent a lot, just because we want to be known as a community asset.
That's great. That's awesome. That really is great to just help out local communities, small businesses, whatever it is, who needs to use that. That's really great. Now let's have some fun, because I like to do that on my show, to have some fun questions. Who is one former baseball player that no longer is playing, could be however long ago, that you would have loved a chance to see, but you never got a chance to see?
Never got a chance to see here or anywhere.
Chance to see live, like anywhere live, that just a baseball player.
Roberto Clemente.
Nice. Mine is Ken Griffey Jr. Never saw him live in person, but obviously saw him on TV. I don't know if you eat hamburgers or if you like burgers. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Build your perfect burger.
All right. So here's the deal. I love onions, but I can't eat them because my wife won't kiss me. That's a true story. So I'm going to leave those out. But so you got to have your burger, A perfect burger would be, man, I don't even know if I've ever had this, but a burger, cheese, lettuce, egg, tomato.
Wow. I was expecting, honestly, I don't know why I was expecting more on that burger. Maybe I was expecting you to throw in the onions and just say, maybe I won't see my wife that night. Now, what is a bucket list item for you?
Well, I want to go to Super Bowl. So my claim to fame is my college roommate is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And so I'm just waiting for him to get to the Super Bowl so I can go.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean, he's been close a few times. He's just got to get there. Yep. Boneless wings or buffalo wings? Or sorry, bone wings or boneless wings?
Wow. Since I'm a fan of the Buffalo Bills, I'm just going to have to say regular wings.
Just regular wings. Some people consider boneless wings as a chicken nuggets. So.
Yeah, yeah. But the key here is if you go to Buffalo and you order ranch, the record player stops. You have to have blue cheese.
Really? Wow, I've had a lot of people say ranch. But in Buffalo, maybe it's different blue cheese in Buffalo or something? Okay.
That's just the way they invented them, and it's like an insult if you order ranch.
Duly noted. Okay, don't get ranch in Buffalo. Now, obviously, you live in Bowie, which is known for four seasons as being a northern state. What's your favorite season out of four seasons?
Oh, it's fall. It's football. You know, I played football in college and just loved the tailgate. You know, when I played, I didn't tailgate. I think I had more fun tailgating. So I go to – we're season ticket holders for – my family is for Navy, the Navy mm-hmm. midshipmen. So there's nothing better to me than a Saturday and you know, tailgating with my friends and watching Navy football. And it's all – you know, Navy athletics is truly interesting. No such thing as NIL. And they're still Navy. And it's, I think it's special. And I'm so lucky to live so close to Navy. To Annapolis. And so I would say the fall because baseball season's over and get to watch some football.
How tough of a loss is it when you guys lose to Army?
Oh, it's – and that's the only one. Like you could – and I went to Army-Navy. Army-Navy is by far my favorite sporting event to go to. Mm-hmm. I've been to four games. The first game I went to was right after 9/11. Most powerful sporting experience that I've ever been a part of, and I've been a part of a lot.
Wow.
But it is – to lose to Army is pretty devastating. Mm-hmm. But the great thing is it's – they call it singing second. So the alma mater of the loser gets played first, and the alma mater of the second mm-hmm. plays last. And that's mm-hmm. just really, really cool to see. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Seriously, it doesn't – I've been to so many – Army Navy events and it's just so special, and I will say Navy pretty much dominates Army in the Commander's Cup, so I that's certainly something that I follow, but yeah, there's nothing like it.
That's great. I had never watched an Army Navy game for like growing up, and like years ago I told myself I'm going to sit down and watch it, and I remember people when I was, this is probably back in like 2017, 2018, people were saying, oh, why? It's just triple option. It's boring. I go, it's football and it's Army Navy. It's one that it's probably the greatest rivalry in college football. And just like what they do and they're locking arms and everything afterwards, it's an incredible scene. And I enjoyed the games. Yeah. I enjoy always watching these games. I always put it on just because of what it is. And me as a Michigan fan, I hate Ohio State. Yeah. So I'm the same way as you. I'd rather lose every game, but if I'm beating Ohio State, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather just do that. Last question. Out of all the minor league teams besides Bowie, who's your favorite mascot? Like what's like most fun creative mascot you like?
You know, I probably partial to the Reading mascot, which is Screwball.
Yeah,
because it's kind of old school and big googly eyes, and it's goofy, and it really does appeal to the young kids. it's interesting because in all these years they've added mascots instead of killing them, and so the Screwball is kind of an old throwback classic that I like.
That's great. Well, Brian, thank you again for joining me. Before I let you go, where can everyone find you guys on social media, online? Yeah. Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, me, I'm at Bay Sox GM on Twitter, but we've got Bowie Bay Sox on Twitter, Facebook as well. Check us out at baysox.com too.
Beautiful. He is Brian Shallcross, again, general manager of the AA Bowie Bay Sox for the Baltimore Orioles. Thanks you again, Brian, for taking time to talk to me on One and Done Radio.
That was great. Thanks, Ryan.
Awesome. Thank you.
So first off, I think NFL schedule releases this past year were probably the best stuff that I've seen all year. I think the winner of NFL releases this year, like schedule releases, was the Tennessee Titans. You guys saw that video or not? Hilarious. Like the funniest stuff, like calling the Colts the Cowboys twice in a row, nowhere near how they're the Cowboys. Like the Eagles. What's today from Pittsburgh? And it was actually the Seahawks. Like it was crazy. But and some of them were like, how do you get a stallion from the Atlanta Falcons logo? It's a freaking bird. So I don't know how you got a stallion from that. Whatever. Must have been bad vision. So with the schedule coming out, I want to give my reaction to just the strength of schedules and to some of the games, because right now we're going to have a little bit overreaction, like, oh, this team has the toughest schedule, this team has the easiest schedule, and that's going to be our reaction that we're going to have so far. But we don't know exactly how the schedule is going to actually play out once the season starts, because we got five teams that are going to have tough schedules. I got the Lions that have a tough schedule, in my opinion. I got the Eagles that have a tough schedule. The Patriots have a tough schedule. The Giants do. There are some tough games on these schedules. Let's start off with the defending champs, the Eagles, because I think there is a tough stretch for them at the end of the season. Look at this week through 11 through 16, guys. This is tough. At Kansas City, home to Buffalo, home to the 49ers, at the Cowboys, at Seattle, home to the Giants. That is a tough stretch to go through, okay? I think, I don't know if the Eagles are healthy and everyone's healthy at that point. The Eagles might go 3-3 in that stretch, possibly 2-4. Like, that's a tough stretch. At Kansas City on Monday Night Football, that's tough. At Dallas, that's tough. Home to the Bills. Bills is always a tough team. 49ers, you don't think they want revenge after last year? They're going to have a big chip on their shoulder. That's a tough game. They could be at least 2-4 in that stretch. The Lions have a, guys, I mean, that was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That was literally six games in a row for the Eagles. Wild. Lions have a tough stretch too, especially in the last half of the season. I mean, they start week one at Kansas City. Whew. You're playing, I'm going to say right now, that's going to be hard to win. And I'm not trying to make a prediction right now, but I could if I wanted to. But that's just going to be hard, man. You're going to Kansas City, their Super Bowl night, right? Because the Super Bowl winners, they open Super Bowl, like they open Thursday Night Football. Yeah, that's going to be a tough game to win. So that they could be 0-1 right there. Then they're going to play, they got at Tampa Bay, which we don't know how good Tampa's going to be this year. They could be really good. They could be really bad. At Baltimore in week 7. Then they go week 10, week 13, 14, 15, and 16. It gets tough. At the Chargers, at the Saints, at Bears, at Vikings, at Cowboys. Guys, that is tough. At Bears should be a win for them. Saints is always a tough place to play. The Chargers, they could be a hard game to try and win. At the Vikings, I think the Lions could beat the Vikings this year. And at the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, again, tough games. It's not even that these teams have tough, it's like one or two games that are really tough on the schedule. It's a stretch. That's a tough, like you got to go through this portion. If you don't come out through some of these portions at 500 or above, like that could be a real downfall to your season. Another one. I mean, God, look at the Giants' schedule to start the season off. Look at this. I think this is really hard. Home to the Cowboys, at Arizona, that should be a win. At San Francisco, that could be a loss. Home to the Seahawks, that could be a loss, could be a win. That's kind of a toss-up game, in my opinion. At Miami, that could be a loss if they're healthy. At Buffalo, home to the Commanders, that could be a win. Home to the Jets, that could be a loss with Aaron Rodgers, you never know. At the Raiders, that could be a loss. At the Cowboys, could be a loss. At the Commanders, might be a loss. That's kind of another toss-up game. So you got these games that, it's again, it's not even about the stretch. It's not about the games. It's about the stretch. It's about how tough can you come out. And then another big thing is the bye week. So many teams have bye weeks in great positions, and some of them not so much. I actually prefer, if I was a team, I would prefer to have a bye week either mid or late of the season, like later the season or the middle of the season, because I do not want to have a bye week that goes early. Like, I do not want to have a bye week in week 5 or week 6. I want to be late as possible, especially if I'm a playoff team. I want the thing to be late as possible. I will say that as a Colts fan, I'm not really too thrilled about when our bye week is. I get we're playing in New England and we're playing in Germany. Yeah. I don't get the whole overseas stuff. I understand we're branding, woo. But like Germany? I don't know. I personally think I would not have played in Germany, but that's just me. But then they have a bye week afterwards. So like for me, if I'm a Colts fan, that is going to be really tough because we have Anthony Richardson and I don't know if he's going to be starting. Let's just say he doesn't start until the bye week or they put him in before the bye week. You're making him go to Germany for his first start. Then you give him a bye week. It's kind of like, it kind of sucks. I mean, it really does, in my opinion. It kind of sucks because, he's going to get, like, you want to see him earlier. So it kind of ruins the plan that I had in place for the Colts as far as, hey, when the bye week comes, put him in a week before and then let him play. Put him in the week before, bye week. Now he's playing the rest of the season. Now it's a little too late in the season. So you're going to throw him in at some point. If I'm a Colts fan, I mean, if I'm looking at right now our schedule, we're playing at Buffalo, that could be a loss. Home to the Bears, that might be a win, might. And we play at the Eagles, that could be a loss right there. Home to the Jaguars, kind of a toss-up, but Jaguars might be a good, this should be a good team this year, so I would not expect a win there. On the road to the Texans, who knows, we might tie with the Texans if I had to bet some money on that. At the Baltimore Ravens, that could be a loss. Home to the Rams, that could be a loss. It depends on what Rams team shows up. Home to the Titans, that might be a loss. It depends on the Titans team. So I think if I'm the Colts and I'm going to start Anthony Richardson at some point, I'm going to start him. Oh, man, I would start him against the Titans. I guess division game, but I think you don't want to put Anthony Richardson against that defense of the Rams that has Aaron Donald coming at you. And I get Richardson has his speed. He's got what he has. But I think you want to put him at least in a more favorable matchup. Because at the time, I understand the Titans defense is pretty good. You don't need to try and correct me there. But putting him against the Rams and Aaron Donald, it sounds like Aaron Donald's coming back, right? Like, it sounds like he's playing this year. Yeah, am I wrong there? Yeah, he plays for the Rams. He was on the fence about coming back or not. So if he's playing, I would just say, hey, we don't need to put him out there for the full game. He'll get some snaps, but we don't need to do that to him. We'll put him in against the Titans. We'll go into him as a starter. Boom. Then you get him at Tennessee or home to Tennessee at the Jags. Home. I think that's a favorable stretch to put him in because you got 3 out of 4 games that are going to be home games. Home to Tennessee, at Jacksonville, home against the Browns, home against the Saints, and then you take on the Panthers on the road, and then you go to Germany. So I think then you get the bye week. So I think that's a good stretch to put him in, where at least three out of the next five games at that point is going to be a home game. I think that could be a good stretch for the kids. So that's my thoughts in the NFL. Again, so early. We're in May. Like, there's so much to figure out as far as how, what teams are tough, what teams are not. We don't know how everyone's going to be. So yeah, we're working on it, but I just want to give my thoughts on that. So that will do it for today's episode of One and Done Radio. Thanks again to Brian Shawcross of the Bowie Bay Sox, AA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles, for a great interview. I loved everything that he had to say about the Bay Sox, about the stadium, Prince George's Stadium, about Army Navy, the rivalry there. That was pretty cool to talk about as well, and what they do for the Naval Academy on site too. I thought that was all really great. So thanks again for tuning to the show. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at One Done Radio. Again, that is One D-U-N-N-E Radio. Subscribe to the show on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get the show. Podcast is there. Like, wherever you get podcasts, the show is there, whatever it is. Okay, you can't miss it. Also, go on YouTube, like and comment on any of the videos they do watch. And subscribe as well. Again, when I hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, NFL jersey giveaway. Promise you, I will not go back on my word about that. You have my word there. Thanks again for tuning in to One and Done Radio.